南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨。
Okay, we will start the Theravada Puja, salutation to the Buddha.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa.
Today is our second lesson on this Satipatthana Sutta. Satipatthana is a Pali word. So the English translation is the four foundations of mindfulness. The first lesson we have dealt with some form of introduction. I have introduced you all to the topic.And I have highlighted to you all the importance of this topic based on what the Buddha has mentioned in the sutta. This is a sutta where the Buddha very clearly pointed out that if you diligently cultivate, maximum, he said, 7 years, you will realize enlightenment.If not full arahantship, it will also be the third stage of sinhood called anathema. Then the fastest you can do it is 1 week. So this will give you a lot of confidence when it comes to this sutta. So that's the reason why this sutta is very important. Then I have some short notes here, but I don't have time to put aside for him because I delayed completing it. I just completed it at about 1:30 just now. So I got it printed. I will use it, but I will pass it to Sister Lee. She will put a step for you off. Maybe the next lesson you will receive them. So this short notes is a recap of what we have discussed. So I will go through, then you will take it from there. Okay, then make sure each and every one of you have a copy of this sutta, Satipatthana Sutta. If you have not got it, you can maybe pick it up in front. I'll get it from Sister Lee. So this photo set actually is funded by Sister Mahasuri. So we rejoice, we thank her for her generosity. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so short notes taken to assist in the understanding of the sutta, based on the first lesson, 16th of February. So today is, I think, 23rd of February. So this is lesson 2. So last Sunday, we went into this. Sutta here means the discourse of the Buddha, all of the truth or the teaching that the Buddha has proclaimed. And they call it the discourse of the Buddha. So all suttas are the discourse of the Buddha. And as I explained last Sunday, before we go into this Satipatthana Sutta proper, I will have to explain to you a little bit about this word Satipatthana. Satipatthana is a Pali word. There are two parts to it. Sati is mindfulness, and patthana is the foundation. So Satipatthana means the foundation of mindfulness. It is about how one develops this sati, or mindfulness cultivation. We are anchoring your mind to any of these four foundations of mindfulness that are very essential for your cultivation. Some book uses the word arousing of mindfulness. Some uses the word establishment of mindfulness. So whether it's foundation of mindfulness, arousing of mindfulness, or establishment of mindfulness, all three has their usage and appropriateness. Foundation here means something that is very firm for you to stand on. So the four foundations of mindfulness are very important for you to develop the cultivation of this meditation. The Buddha said, if you develop sati on these four foundations, enlightenment in the here and the now will be possible. And the sutta can also help in the establishment of mindfulness, arousing of mindfulness needed for this meditation. So Satipatthana, the meaning is very, very deep. It is a sutta that teaches you how to establish mindfulness on these four foundations. It is also a sutta that can help you to arouse the faith and the virya to cultivate this four foundations of mindfulness. So that's why in various different books where they used to translate this sutta, they used three different words. But the four foundation of the three, the four foundation of mindfulness is the most commonly used. Then the second most commonly used is the establishment of mindfulness, followed by the last one is what they call arousing of mindfulness. So this sort of introduce you to the topic. Then the most important part is the opening statement of the sutta, where the Buddha mentioned very clearly, is it ekayano ayam bhikkhave mago, and followed by all those Pali words. So the English translation is on page, I think, 33, is stated there. Then the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhu as follows. This is the only way, O bhikkhu, for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the attainment or realization of nibbana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. So whatever meditation you do, finally it is cannot bring you back to the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay? In the Satipatthana Sutta, the first foundation of mindfulness is Kaya Nupassana. Kaya means the physical body. No comes from the word anusati, which is the contemplative, while Passana comes from the word Vipassana, which is to insight into. Hence the word Kaya Nupassana means mindfulness to develop the contemplative wisdom and to insight into the three characteristics of nature via mindfulness of the first foundation, which is Kaya, or the physical body. So this is just to let you understand the significance of this word, why the Buddha called it Kaya Nupassana, the first foundation. Then the second foundation he called it Vedana Nupassana. Then the third foundation is Dhamma Nupassana again. Then the last one is Dhamma Nupassana. Then I go on to further explain what Anusati is. The Buddha actually taught a few contemplative meditations. The most common are the three contemplative meditations that we call Buddha Nosati, Dhamma Nosati, and Sangha Nosati. Nosati, as I have explained, come from the word Anusati, means contemplation. So Buddha Nosati means contemplation on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Then Dhamma Nosati means contemplation on the characteristics of the Dhamma, the uniqueness of the Dhamma. Then Sangha Nosati is also the same. Contemplate on the significance and uniqueness of the Ayam Sangha that the Buddha talked about. So these are the various objects of contemplation as recommended by the Buddha to develop the contemplative wisdom. Whereas when it comes to the development of insight or wisdom, it is called Vipassana Bhavana. Bhavana is meditative discipline or the meditative training. And we is the three characteristics of nature, and Passana is to insight into these three characteristics of nature. But in the four foundation of mindfulness, the first foundation of mindfulness is not Kaya Passana Anasana. Instead it is called Kaya Nupassana, which means you make use of the first foundation of mindfulness, which is mindfulness of the Kaya, to develop the contemplative wisdom and then to insight into the characteristics of nature. And that is the purpose of Kaya Nupassana. So it's not just Kaya Passana Anatta, you need to develop the training of kaya nupasana. So nupasana is more complete than just anusati or pasana alone. So that's why under the four foundation of mindfulness, when you develop the cultivation of each and every of these four foundations, you need to develop both. No pasana, like the word no is come from the word anusati. So you need to do a lot of reflection, contemplation. Then after that, when you understand what the meaning is, then you go into the cultivation, the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation. And then you will have the ability to insight into the characteristics of we, which is the three characteristics of nature. And these three characteristics of nature, they are inherent in all things within nature. All of phenomena within nature, may it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they exhibit these three characteristics. They are impermanent. You grasp and cling, suffering will be the result. And because they are impermanent, it's not a changing, unchanging entity where you can cling on to and hold on to and say, this is me, this can be mine, and this am I. So because of that, the third characteristic of anatta, which is empty nature and non-self, all of phenomena, because they are conditioned arising, cause of phenomena, they are impermanent. And because they are impermanent and they are conditioned arising, they are not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to, and call this is me, this is I, this are mine. So these three characteristics are universal characteristics, which are very, very important insight that you need to penetrate in order to understand what the Buddha really want you to develop, so that you can become enlightened, so that you are not deluded, you are not gullible. And the key delusion that he wants you to break is Sakkayaditti. Sakkayaditti is self-delusion. He wants you to understand that this form and mind that you believe you are, they are not real, they are not what you are. They are impermanent. When you grasp, cling and hold, it leads to suffering. And because of that, it is anatta, non-self. Not you. Not you, but it is something that comes with your karmic nature. When you take birth, this life or any life, when you come to this universe, there is this law of karma. Through your karmic nature, conditioned a fine aggregate of form and mind to arise. And this fine aggregate of form and mind that arise is just a vehicle and a tool for you to use to live life, to understand life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So if you understand them clearly, you will not cling to them, you will not grasp onto them, then your mind can free. Then you are no longer deluded by it. Then Sakkayaditti no more. And then you can understand his teaching clearly. And from the understanding of his teaching, you will know how to live life. You will understand clearly how living being entangled itself and develop all the unnecessary suffering or misery in life. So penetrating these three universal characteristics leading to the understanding of Sakkayaditti is very important. Empty nature, non-self nature of this form and mind. So this is key to the development of wisdom. Then I will move on with the short notes. Similarly, the second foundation of mindfulness is called Vedana Nupassana. Vedana is feeling. So Vedana Nupassana means to contemplate an insight into the characteristics of nature via mindfulness on the foundation of Vedana, which is feeling. And subsequently, the third foundation of mindfulness is Chitta. Chitta here means content of consciousness. All of your mind states are contained within. So the third foundation of mindfulness is Chitta Nupassana. Then there is the last foundation of mindfulness, which we call Dhamma Nupassana, which means you reflect, contemplate, and insight into the characteristics of nature to develop the insight wisdom needed to enlighten or liberate the mind. We are mindfulness on the fourth foundation, which is Dhamma, or Dhamma. And as I've explained, Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha, which includes all of the essential Dhamma or truth that he has proclaimed. That's why within the last foundation, which is Dhamma Nupassana, the first category of practice is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, or Pancha Nivaranas. These five mental hindrances are a very important aspect of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught. These are the mental states that hinders you from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why most of you are not able to meditate, because your mind lacks the spiritual faculty, the opposite five. That's the reason why you are not peaceful, not calm. You cannot develop this meditative state of inner peace and inner mindfulness. So the five hindrances, they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calm, and inner awareness. So these are the ones that obstruct you, hinders you. You need to develop the mindfulness of it, so that when they arise, you know it is a hindrance, and because of that, it can condition you into heedlessness. That's why the first category of mindfulness training under Dhamma Nupassana, the fourth foundation, is to develop mindfulness on these five things, the five hindrances, the five mental hindrances. So this is the first category of important Dhamma or Dhamma that you need to understand. That's why you need to reflect, contemplate, understand it, then after that, develop the meditation out of it. Then the second category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. And this is another important set of Dhamma. The five aggregates of form and mind, you need to understand them clearly, because the final summary of the first noble truth, when Lord Buddha summarized all of suffering under the first noble truth, he mentioned very clearly, he said, in short, it is due to your avijja or ignorance, which is mainly sakkayaditti, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering. So suffering comes about because this five aggregate of form and mind is deludedly grasped at, cling onto, hold onto, held onto. That's why under the first noble truth final summary, the Buddha said, it is the five aggregates of grasping that I call suffering. Upadana khandas. Upadana means grasping. Khandas is aggregate. So this is a very important understanding. So when you develop that understanding, your meditation will be very different. You can progress very fast. Then after you have understood what this five aggregate of form and mind is, you can move on to the next category of practice. The five aggregate of form and mind, anybody don't understand? Anybody don't understand? or totally new to it, haven't heard about it, you better put up your hand. If you have heard about it, then it will be good. Otherwise, I will explain a little bit. Okay, since everybody already heard about it, I maybe just quickly run through it. These five aggregates of form and mind, the Buddha called it Nama Rupa. So if you read the Pali version, you will see this word, Nama Rupa. Or they call form and mind. So it's the other way around. The Pali word is the other way around. Form and mind. Nama is mind, Rupa is form. So form and mind. When you talk about the five aggregate, they call it pancha. Pancha is five. So pancha khandas. Khandas is aggregate. So panchakandas is a five aggregate. We call it the five aggregate of form and mind. And this one constitutes the second category of practice under Dhamma Nupassana. The Buddha said you must develop mindfulness on this five aggregate of form and mind. Otherwise, you will not develop the wisdom. You will deludedly grasp onto it, hold onto it, and it will condition your mental suffering. So this is the most important Dhamma within the First Noble Truth, because the Buddha summarized all our suffering as grasping and clinging onto this five aggregate of form and mind through delusion, sakkayadhiti, self-delusion. So now I will explain to you what this five aggregate is, so that you understand this essential Dhamma. Just like the first category, which is the five hindrance of mind. They are the most important category of essential Dhamma before you start meditation. Because the hindrance of mind are the one that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. So the second category of Dhamma that is very important that you need to develop the mindfulness on is this five aggregate of form and mind. But the problem with our Theravada teaching and even some of this Mahayana and Vajrayana teaching is this five aggregate of form and mind are not really explained clearly to you. They only tell you what they are, but they don't really explain. They will just mention what are they, but they don't explain to you how it come about and their significance and meaning. So this five aggregate of form and mind, let me now ask you, we start from square one, assume we don't know anything. From the sutta, from the teaching, what are the things that you heard about this five aggregate of form and mind? Of course, this word pancha khanda. You heard about it? Pancha is five, khanda is aggregate. Okay? Then when it comes to nama rupa, they always tell you what? They will recite to you the five things. What are they? What are they? Rupa? Rupa? Then? Vedana? Some more? What else? Rupa, Vedana? Sanya. Then? Sankara. Then? Vinyana. (Clears throat)
You see, you heard about this before, but do you know what they are? Yeah? Of course, they got the English translation. Yeah? So, first one, rupa, they call what? Yeah? They always tell you it's form, yeah? But they don't explain what is this form. Yeah? Some they tell you more specifically, maybe they say the physical body. Yeah? Physical body. If they tell you it's the physical body, at least they know something. Physical body. This is only the first aspect of form. There is another aspect of form. They call it the mental form. That one, nobody teach. I haven't seen it in any book. So this mental form is very important. Mental form. I will explain this later. You see, the other four aggregate, this one is mind. Mind. Or the nama part. So these four mental aggregate together with the form forms the five aggregate. Okay? So this one plus this one. Okay, we put the two together. This one plus this one. Rupa plus this. You form the five aggregate. Vedana, they just tell you it's feeling. Then sanya, they say it's perception. Sankara, they give you many words. Mental activity, mental volition, mental intention, mental states, and a few more. But they didn't go into the detail because this is a very unique word, sankara. If you cannot understand this word, the Buddha's teaching is very difficult to penetrate. Because in many, many places the Buddha used this word, he always equate the three characteristics of nature with this word. Sabbe sankara anicang. Sabbe sankara dukkang. That's sabbe dhamma anatta. Then when it talks about the five aggregate in the morning chanting, where the monk always chant, you always hear this, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, vedana anicang, vedana anatta. Similarly for sanya, sankara, and vijnana. Means what? Means all of the five aggregate, they are all impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling, suffering is the result. And because of that, they are also empty, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. So this five aggregate of form and mind, you need to understand how they come about. So if they only list this, then you have to make your own guess, anasara, as to what this is, anasara. If they don't even mention it, the rupa is a physical body, then you can't really start, anasara. That's why during the early day, when I read about this, I inquire, what actually is the meaning? Because nobody write about it. Then I meditate. Then after I meditate, after about a few weeks, all of a sudden, the contemplative wisdom came up. Then I realized, as a human being, I have this five aggregate of form and mind. This is the first aspect. But no book write about it. So the first aspect is as a human being. Means what? As a human being, you have a physical body. Correct or not? So this is rupa, physical body. Then you have a mind. Okay? But you never inquire deep into this. Because I inquire deep into this, I want to know certain truth about the mind. Can somebody help to open this? It's still, the plastic is still there. You see, I inquire deep into all. You must remember to pluck this, otherwise dry, gone. One of them is gone. Yeah. Oh, never mind. So, you need to inquire. Ask yourself. That's why meditation is about inquiry. Come, give me that one. Yeah. You need to investigate and inquire into what the Buddha has proclaimed, into all the truth that you hear. Under Kalama Sutta, the Buddha makes it very clear. So, this mind, you need to inquire, what is it? Well, each and every one of us have a mind, isn't it? But you don't understand what that mind is. You have been using it for so many years, umpteen years, but you never inquire, what is this mind? People use various words, isn't it? Consciousness. So what is consciousness? Because this mind can make you conscious of things, understand or not? The thing that you become conscious is the consciousness, understand or not? Like you have an eye that can make you conscious of what you see, understand or not? So there is seeing consciousness. So mind is not consciousness, understand or not? Because there are two aspects of mind. One is the true mind. The other one is the mundane mind. The condition arising mundane mind. Yeah. That one is capable of consciousness. That one is capable of all these four things. That's why the Buddha subdivide your mind into these four aggregates. And how do we understand these four aggregates? Because after I meditated, I reflect, inquire, then I realize inside, within my own mental mind. These are the four things that my mind can do, understand? That's why I teach you all a skillful means. In order to remember these four aggregates, you don't have to commit to memory. You only need to ask yourself one question. What can my mind do? Understand? When you inquire and ask, what can my mind do? Then very easy, isn't it? What can your mind do? Huh? What can your mind do? You have been using your mind for so long. What can your mind do? Huh? You only know you can think a lot. What is it? Think a lot, memorize, maybe read and all those things. But what else? Every day you experience this mind, isn't it? Early morning when you wake up, you feel something, isn't it? The weather, whether it's hot or cold. When you're on the aircon, you can feel the coldness. When the weather is very hot, you can feel it hot. Understand not? So there is this unique quality of mind that enables you to feel. Understand not? Whether it's hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant, pain or pleasurable feeling. So this mind is capable of arising feeling. Understand not? Based on what? Based on tactile, understand not? Tactile consciousness creates sensation or feeling. Yeah. But apart from tactile, your various other type of sense or consciousness, when they arise, there is also this feeling aggregate within. Where the mind also has this feeling. Like when you see something, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, there is this feeling inside you, understand not? Similarly, when you hear something, smell, taste, or think of something. So this feeling is one of the aggregate of mind. Means the mind is capable of feeling. Then what else can your mind do? Just now you say memorize. Commit to memory. Means what? The thinking part. But before memory is what? How do you know things? How do you know the thing around you? How do you know my voice? How do you know this form? Through perception, isn't it? Your mind has this ability to perceive, isn't it? So perception is another quality of mind. It can know things through mental perception. Like Kuan Yin image at the back. or the Buddha Rupang through the poster at the back. How do you know it? You know it through your mental perception. Your mind is able to perceive it through memory, through conditioning, through what you have learned, etc. And you can perceive my voice also through your memory, through your learning, etc. knowledge. So this power of mind to perceive is very important. So perception, sanya, is another aggregate that the Buddha wants you to understand. Then the third one is sankhara. Sankhara is the most important, because actually the whole of the content of consciousness is actually sankhara. So sankhara, actually, finally, when you come to understand, it includes feeling and perception, vedana and sanya. That's why under Abhidhamma, sankhara, they say 52. But under the five aggregate of form and mind, sankhara is 50. You have to add these two. Understand? Then, if you combine these three, vedana, sanya, sankhara, as one entity, means what? Means your mind has only two things, anasana, the mundane mind. It has its content of consciousness and the receptacle, which is the consciousness itself. When the consciousness arises, like the Buddha mentioned, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, there's only the hearing consciousness. Means these are pure consciousness, anasana. You're just conscious. There is no one to see yet, no one to hear yet, and there is no arising of any of this content yet. That's why when you see things as they are, it's the pure consciousness without its content. But the moment you see and react, then you input the content. That's why the content, if you study under Abhidhamma, they will tell you whether that citta or that consciousness is wholesome or unwholesome. Means what? Kusala or akusala. Vinyana. Or citta. So, when it is kusala, means it's wholesome. Akusala is unwholesome. And this comes from your mental activity, sankhara, your mental intention. If your mental intention is negative, then it's akusala, anasana. So, this content of consciousness is what you put it into the mind. And it comes about through your views and your opinion of things. If you have wrong views, sakaya ditti, your input will be wrong content. That's why the user of thought is very useful, very important. If the user of thought is deluded and ignorant, thought becomes unwholesome, thought becomes negative. So this is how later, when you understand, when you apply the teaching, the Dhamma, you will start to understand many, many things. So, after you have covered these three, sankhara, I haven't really explained the detail. Sankhara is everything that your mind can do, including your mental activity, which is your thinking, your planning, your scheming. Even your memory. You try to memorize something. Then it also includes all the mental formation within. All the mental states. Mental state is actually near to feeling. But it is not pure feeling. Understand? Pure feeling is different from mental states. Pure feeling is just that feeling. Before it's conditioned into pleasant or unpleasant feeling, understand not? Before it's being conditioned into the reaction of mind, duality. So sankhara here, there is another meaning. It covers all of the mental state. Means after feeling has changed, understand not? Change into pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. Then this one got a lot, mental states. Like piti, sukha, anasana, are the pleasant type of mental state. Then tranquility or stillness also, very pleasant type of mental state. Then there is another few which are negative. like sorrow, lamentation, envy, anger, hatred, and even those like fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind. These are all the negative mental states. That's why sankhara is a very, very complicated word. That's why the Buddha always used this word. All of sankhara, whatever that your mind can do, except becoming conscious. So sankhara need to be understood. It can only be understood through meditation, through contemplation. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness, if you do it correctly, you will understand this five aggregate very clearly. Then only you understand who you are, what you are. Why the Buddha said this form of mind is not you, anatta, non-self, empty. Yeah. Then the last thing that your mind can do is what? Apart from feeling, perception, and thinking, arising mental states, what else can your mind do? Huh? What else can your mind do? Huh? The answer is here. What else can your mind do? Huh? What is this for? Huh? What is vijnana? Consciousness, isn't it? So your mind can become conscious of things, isn't it? Conscious of what? You got your five physical senses. Understand now? You got the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the tactile, and the thought, the mind. So this mind can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Understand now? So this consciousness is very important. When you become conscious, means what? Means you are not asleep, understand? You have become conscious. But there is a big difference between conscious and heedful, understand? You can be conscious of life, but you are not heedful of life, understand? That's why the heedless are as if dead. So Dhammapada verse 21 is very important. A person that is heedless is conscious of life, but they are not mindful. They are not heedful. That's why they say, you think you exist, you think you're alive. But to the Buddha, spiritually, if you are heedless, you are as if dead. So when you are conscious of life, you are not living life. Understand? You existed through life, but you never live. Understand? Because you are heedless all the time, even though you are conscious. Understand? Conscious means what? When somebody says something, you are conscious of the hearing consciousness, isn't it? You are conscious of what you see, isn't it? But you are not mindful. Understand? You are not heedful of what is going on. That's why you cannot understand how this five aggregate of form and mind function. Understand? Okay? So this five aggregate now, first aspect clear, as a human being. The second aspect is the most important. That one you need to understand because that is what is taught under paticca samuppada, dependent origination. Okay? We understand that the mind has four mental aggregates. So how did the fifth form aggregate comes about? Every moment of consciousness, the Buddha said there is also the five aggregate of form and mind. That part, the book also never write. So later on, I come to realize, I say, the Buddha separates sanya and vedana from sankhara is because he has a very important reason. First, we talk about sanya. This is the one that can perceive. That's why all of the things that you come to perceive, they are the external phenomenal world, understand? They are the external form, external rupa. Like my physical form, okay? Or the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva form. Or any of these external object or form, like the car, the building, the aircon, the fan, the lighting, and whatever that you can come to perceive through your vision, or even my voice that you can perceive. All these are external form, external rupa. And because you perceive it through your memory, you recall and you take it in, it enters your mind, understand not? So this external form enters the mind through your perception, sanya. That's why when there is pure awareness or pure seeing and hearing, there is no form. You just see things as they are, understand not? No word, no concept, no reaction, nothing. So the direct seeing, jnana dasana, no thought, just the silent mind in pure awareness. So this is the part very difficult to understand and very seldom taught. And very few people can maybe share with you the understanding. So when it comes to sanya, this is how it brings the external form into the mind. So you have the five aggregate of form and mind within the mental form. That's why every moment of sense or consciousness, there is this five aggregate of form and mind. It will arise simultaneously upon contact. Yeah. So that is the reason why sanya has been separated. Yeah. Then when it comes to vedana, which is feeling, why did the Buddha separate it? Because under this four foundation of mindfulness, he said, after you have understood what kaya is, the first foundation, after you have trained your mind, you need to be mindful of this feeling. Because this feeling is very important. This is the one that conditions your mind into negativity, into the duality, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, how the evil root comes about, how the hindrance come about. So this vedana is a very powerful aggregate. And this one needs to be understood. And it is from here that you move. Then after that, you have the whole of the content, citta. That's why the third foundation is about this content. Citta nupassana is about vedana, sanya, sankara, three together. Second foundation, just go into vedana. Sana. Then the last foundation is no more this four thing. You go into the dhamma. So this five aggregate of form and mind is very, very important. Yeah? So the second aspect I have already explained. So you just keep in mind. Okay? So that later on, when you use it to cultivate, it will help you a lot. Okay? Yeah. If you got any question, you can ask. Yes, Chui. You can ask, yeah.
Brother Dew,
yes.
I'm a bit confused about what you said, which is that rupa is the form and it's about physical body, the physical form.
Yes.
And then you mentioned that there is another form, which is the mental form.
Yes.
And from what I understand, the mental form is in the it's within the five aggregates of form. Also,
okay. Never mind. It's okay. You continue. What is your question?
So can you?
What is your question? Just push it up. Push it up. Can you just speak? Sometimes the battery. Just speak. Never mind. Speak. I think it's the battery, they forgot to off it. Never mind, what is your question? Okay. You see, I already explained just now, maybe you didn't get me. I already explained very clearly that this five aggregate of form and mind, there are two aspects to it. Understand or not? There are two aspects to it. Okay, listen carefully. Listen carefully. First aspect is what? First aspect is what? As a? No. The five aggregate of form and mind. There are two aspects. First aspect is what? As a human being, understand or not? If this one also you cannot remember, that's why you end up asking me questions. Because it's very clear, understand or not? The two aspects of five aggregate of form and mind. First aspect is as a human being. Understand or not? So as a human being, this form is definitely your physical body, understand or not? Then you have a mind that is trapped inside this mind. Understand? This body, sorry. So when it's trapped inside this body, it means what? You are the form and the mind. Understand or not? So combined together, whatever this body experiences, your mind can become conscious of it. Understand? Or not? Through the tactile consciousness. That's why this first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is very easy to understand. It's just a physical body and a mind, which is the human being, which is what you are, which is what you think you are. But because of delusion, you cannot understand and you think they are real. You think this physical body is what you are. That's why you get worried when you get old, get sick and about to die. Because you don't know what death is. Then every feeling that arises through your sense experience while you go through life, they are like so real, understand? That everything you come to perceive is like so real, understand? The phenomenal world. That everything that you become conscious of and through your thinking, you think there is a thinker behind the thought, there is a person who thinks and manifests all this consciousness. Understand? That's why this form and mind appears so real, and you think this human being is what you are. This is where Sakayaditi is. And this is just the first aspect. Then when it comes to the second aspect, there is no confusion, understand? I already tell you the second aspect is the mental five aggregate, understand? It means it's no more the physical body, understand? Every moment of sense experience when I see something, there is a five mental aggregate of form and mind arising. Can you understand? Every moment when I hear something, there is a five aggregate of form and mind arising through the hearing consciousness. But as I've explained, the mind only got four aggregates, understand not? Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Then where does the fifth aggregate come from? It comes from the perception, understand not? This is where you take the external form into the mind, understand not? So where got confusion? The external form that I talk about, everything that you can perceive through your senses is the external form. Because your mind is the knowing element, understand not? Whatever that your mind know is the external form or the external rupa, understand not? You know through your perception, isn't it? Through your memory, isn't it? Clear not? So this external form, when it enters the mind, it becomes the fifth aggregate, understand not? That's how the five mental aggregate comes to be. But when it is pure consciousness without the content, then there is no mental form. Understand? And then that time, pure consciousness, pure, no five aggregate. That's why the enlightened one, when they see things as they are, this mental form doesn't come in, this sankhara doesn't move, and because they don't have avijja. Avijja is ignorant. First tooling of dependent origination is avijja paccaya sankhara. When there is no more ignorance, sankhara doesn't move, understand? That's why they see things as they are. They are not deluded. But they need to live life. That's why they can still arise, sankhara. But they are non-grasping, understand? They use it to live, understand? To experience life. To do whatever that they want to do in life, understand? That's why these five aggregates, they are pure aggregate. No more grasping, no more delusion. Understand not? So for Chui, does it answer your question now? Yes. Just push it up all the way. you must have confidence. Ah, you don't doubt. You doubt, sound also the
now I don't doubt it.
Ah,
yeah. Brother Teo, that
yes.
means the mental form you are talking about has to do with the four.
No. You remember the second aspect. What is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind? First aspect as a human being. Second aspect is what? Five mental aggregate. Understand or not? The second aspect is not a human being, understand? It's just an aggregate, five aggregate, understand or not? When you see something, there is this seeing consciousness, understand or not? You become conscious of what you see. So this seeing consciousness together with its content become the five mental aggregate, understand or not? And the mental aggregate, there are only four inside, but the external form come in because you perceive it, understand or not? You take it in, understand or not? The other way for you to understand is the knowing mind, whatever that the mind know is the form outside, understand or not? So this knowing mind knows something. Whatever that the mind know is the external rupa, understand or not? Otherwise, it cannot be the five aggregate, understand or not? There are only four. But because of sanya, it brings the external form into the mind. That's why this five aggregate of form and mind, the mental form, can stir, can react, understand or not? That's how feeling can be conditioned into craving, understand or not? But without this sanya, the external form doesn't come in. Without your wrong view and your opinion, you cannot react, understand or not? But because of your wrong view and your sakayaditi, self-delusion, you grasp onto what you see, understand or not? And you react to them, understand or not? That's how the five mental aggregate is the one that the Buddha really want to teach you under the dependent origination. That's why under the dependent origination, the 12 link, the first link is avijja paccaya sankhara, okay? Sankhara paccaya vinyanang. This vinyanang is pure consciousness. But the moment that sanya perceive thing, take it in, vinyanang paccaya namarupang. Understand now? That's how the mental five aggregate come to be. And that one is the five mental aggregate. It's not a human being. Understand? The book cannot explain because they go through the three period of time. Understand not? To them, dependent origination is three lifespan. Understand not? Yeah, they cannot explain this mental five aggregate. To them, it's a human being. Understand not? That's why they have this rebirth consciousness. The third link, vinyanang, they call it the rebirth consciousness. The second link, sankhara, they call it the karmic volition. They say because of ignorance, it conditions karma, karmic volition. Then karma conditions rebirth consciousness. Then rebirth consciousness conditions the new five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being. Then it has the senses, then there is contact, then there is feeling and all those things. Then they explain that. Then after that, they die, they say. Then they continue. So, when you don't understand, you got no way to explain, you have to come up with something. That's why in the commentary, they always explain dependent origination that way. But if it's only once over three lifespan, the Buddha teach you for what? Understand? No use in that. Maybe as a knowledge. But it's not applicable. Understand? But if it is five mental aggregate which happen at every moment, every instant of your life, then it's useful. Understand? Then this dependent origination, paticca samuppada, become meaningful. That's why the second aspect is very important. And this one, so far I haven't read any book that explain about it. That's why they cannot break the paticca samuppada link. So the teaching is all following tradition, following what has been popularly accepted. Okay? So now clear, second aspect. You have to remember these two things on it. First aspect as a human being. Second aspect as a five mental aggregate. Your problem no more. Five mental aggregate means what? The mind has four aggregate. The external form is sanya bring in. And then you get five mental aggregate, understand not? It's nothing to do with a human being anymore, understand? It's every moment of consciousness. Every moment of arising, of seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. Can follow now, Jui? Okay? Use the mic for the recording. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Can we say that the mental form is the mental image we perceive through the sanya?
You see, mental form is what you label from the external, understand not? Externally, there was nothing, understand not? It's just like this table. Who call it table? Nobody call it table, understand not? But English language call it table, understand not? Then Malay call it meja. Mandarin call it zuozi. So how can you label this below? Understand not? Through your conditioning, understand not? Where you are trained in this language. That's why you perceive it through your memory, through your conditioning. Understand not? It can appear as an image. But what is important is not whether it's an image or not an image. Understand not? What is important is how do you come to know that this is major. Understand not? You remember last time I shared with you the bullock-cart analogy that the Buddha talked about. Okay? First, the Buddha told the monk, okay, take the axle, the wheel, the carriage, separate them. What do you see? The monk say, no more bullock cart, nothing, only the parts. Remember? And then he said, assemble pack again. Then what do they see? Oh, bullock cart again, arise already. Understand not? So, what is the Buddha trying to teach all the monks? What he is trying to tell you is all these are condition arising, understand not? When the condition is there, when the parts come together, then it perform a function, then you give it a name and a concept. That's why bullock cart arise already, understand not? So when bullock cart arise already, then you label it, then it become like real, understand not? You accept it, you say, okay, this external form is bulokat, real. But then you never really meditate to understand how does the bulokat come to be? Real in what sense? So the next inquiry is, how do you know it's a bulokat? How do you know? It's through your perception, isn't it? Through your mental consciousness, isn't it? Your seeing consciousness. Then you perceive it through your memory, isn't it? Then like what you say, it's just an image here, isn't it? So that image that is here, how real is it? Is it real? Is it real? It's just an image, understand not? Image means what? A mental energy, understand not? A mental consciousness, understand not? Come and go, understand not? How real can it be? Externally already condition arising. Not so real, understand? When condition is there, you say exists. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Like voice, sound, that passing car, okay? Nearby you can hear, you say, oh, that sound, that car sound is real. Then as it travels further beyond your range, you cannot hear, you say, no more, not real. But another guy further down there, they can hear, it's real. So what is real and what is unreal? For you, whatever that your senses can perceive, you call it real. Understand? You say exists. That's why there is delusion. Understand? You need to meditate to understand how things come to be. That's why the Buddha used this word in the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Your mind is the forerunner of all things. Understand? Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything come to be. So everything fall back to mind. Understand? That's why the five aggregate of form and mind is very important. If you cannot see mind, cannot understand mind, you cannot understand the teaching. Understand? Not? So it's not whether it's an image or what. It's understanding the process how this thing arises, how it functions. Your five aggregate form and mind as a human being. Then how the five mental aggregate come to be. Then when you see that everything is just consciousness, come and go, then you suddenly awaken to it, understand or not? That's like the whole world that you experience while living life as a human being. To you, it's so real, isn't it? But to the enlightened one, it is totally not real. That's why in the Hindu teaching, they call it Maya. What is Maya? What is Maya? Illusion, isn't it? That's why the Buddha used the five aggregate form and mind, the analogy. What analogy did he use for this consciousness? Consciousness is like what? Huh? Consciousness is like a magician, isn't it? Correct or not? Magician is also an illusionist, isn't it? Create illusion for you to see, isn't it? That's why consciousness is not real, understand or not? So when you understand that the whole phenomenal world is the world of consciousness, come and go, then how come you are so deluded by it? Just like the bulokat. Externally already not so real, understand or not? Because they are conditioned, right? When the part come together, it arise, exists. When the cut, the part cease to be separated, no more bulokat, isn't it? So you see, condition arising, like this table, understand or not? Condition arising, not permanent. Because if the condition behind is arising does not exist, this table don't exist, understand or not? If nobody go and get the raw material, if there is no skilled carpenter who go and do it up, then put it on sales, then somehow Wu Ping Ching Sir buy or somebody donate, this table will not be here, understand or not? So this table exists because of those conditions, understand or not? And when any of these conditions cease to be, this table cease to be. Ah, yes. Yes. No, push it out. Okay. No, it's okay. Never mind. Okay.
Testing.
Mental what? Mental? Never mind. His voice is quite loud. It's okay. Let him speak.
Hello?
No, speak direct in the center. Direct into the center. It's okay, speak. Okay. Your question is very good. He said, does it mean that the enlightened one doesn't arise the sanya? No. The sanya still arise, but it's non-grasping because they are not deluded, understand? But when they see things as they are, it's just pure seeing, understand? Means just aware before the knowing, understand? So awareness before the knowing is possible. The enlightened one always see like that, understand? But when they live life, they need to interact with people, understand? They need to communicate with people. So they also have to perceive, understand not? But their aggregate is non-grasping, understand not? Means what? They are no longer deluded, understand not? So non-grasping means they are not deluded by it anymore, understand not? They understand it clearly, understand not? What they are. It's just an image, understand not? And the characteristic, they're very clear, understand not? So when you meditate to become enlightened, that's why you need to silence your mind, understand? Silence your mind means what? Just aware, understand? Don't try to know in the meditation. Don't try to go and insight into this and insight into that. All these are your thought trying to do, understand? That's why I say you just aware, silence your mind. When you silence, you will awaken. Because this nature that is silent can insight into phenomena. The moment the thought is active, you are no longer aware. You are no longer able to see things as they are. Can follow, eh? So, the part that confuses him was he thinks the enlightened one don't perceive. That's why they are not conditioned by it. Understand not? That is only during the cultivation. When they cultivate that time, they see things as they are, the perception doesn't arise. Understand not? They are just aware before the knowing. Understand not? Before the perception, before the labeling, before the concept, before the words come in. Understand not? That's why they see reality. Understand not? They see things as they are. No words on. Like baby, newborn baby, see without memory. Understand not? But they haven't been taught anything. Understand? That's why they are very cute, very innocent. They just laugh. Understand not? Then they just very sincere, very naive. Understand not? But they see things as they are. That's why there is no fear, nothing, no cunningness, nothing. Understand not? That is during cultivation. Understand not? But when you come out to live, you need to use this mind. Understand not? That's why you remember last time under the Heart Sutta, I told you all about the Mahayana teaching. Kan san, si san. Then the second seeing, kan san, pu si san. Then finally when he become enlightened, kan san, yu si san. That is the reason. Understand not? The first seeing is mundane seeing. Understand not? Mundane seeing means what? You see with concept. You see with memory. Understand not? They say, Kan san, si san, correct not? Sorry, for those who don't know Mandarin. The Mandarin meaning is, Kan san is sea mountain. Jiu si san means sea mountain as mountain. Understand not? That is mundane seeing. Understand not? But as you cultivate, you develop this ability to see, the direct seeing come out, then you realize, Kan san, pu si san. Because when he see, there is no word, no label, nothing. Understand not? Who say it's mountain? No. Malay call it gunung. And he doesn't see anything. He see that thing as it is. Understand not? Before the labeling, before the word. Understand not? That's why there is no mountain. That's why he will argue with you. Understand not? No. Kan san, pu si san. But after you enlighten, you can accept what he say also. Yeah, kan san, pu si san. But the normal, mundane human being come, he say, this is a mountain. Ah, yeah, you are also right, mountain. Because he already enlightened. Understand? After he enlightened, he can use, understand not? He no longer attached to duality. Understand? He no longer try to be right. Understand not? Because it depends on how you see. Understand not? Mundane seeing, also right, understand? Right according to him, understand not? That's why I say you all never ask, right according to who, understand not? Then the just about to awaken one, because he has the direct seeing, that's why he say, Kan san, pu si san. He is also right, understand not? Right according to him. That's why the enlightened one, finally, when he see, Kan san, yu si san, understand not? Again, it's mountain again, because now, it's no more whether direct seeing or mundane seeing. It's just reality. Understand? Reality, you need to have the ability to understand both sides. Understand? That's why, 真空妙有. The Heart Sutta says, when you penetrate through emptiness, life becomes wonderful. Existence becomes wonderful. This is the meaning. When you penetrate real emptiness, true emptiness means profound emptiness, means you fully enlightened, or you enlightened to a very, very strong condition. Then you see very clearly. Anasana. Ultimate truth is like that. Mundane truth is like that. Both also need to be understood. Anasana. Then only you can live. Anasana. But you are able to live in this world like the lotus, yet not defiled by it. Anasana. You are in the world, but you are not affected by it. Like the lotus in the lotus pond. Below it is the world. Understand not? full of dirty, contaminated water. But the lotus rise above, beautifully blossom. Understand not? The enlightened one that has the understanding from both sides will live like the lotus. That's why the lotus is a symbol of the great Bodhisattva and Buddha. Understand not? The normal Arya don't have lotus. You realize or not? They may carry lotus around, but they don't have one underneath them. Understand not? That's why only the great beings, the Bodhisattva, the very, very well evolved and cultivated, and the Buddhas, they have this lotus beneath. And this is how, when you have this penetrative understanding, then you can come back into the world and live like a normal person. Then there is no more duality. Understand? Mundane seeing talk to you, you also say, right. The one that can see beyond, he talk to you, you also say, you are also right. Then he can interact, understand not? That's why he can live life. And he can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. The five aggregate of form and mind still there, but non-grasping, understand not? And if it's not non-grasping, it's so beautiful. I can experience the world with this consciousness there. And yet there is no delusion there. And yet you don't need to suffer there. There is beauty, understand not? That's why life become wonderful. Existence become wonderful. Can follow that? Okay? Any more questions? Actually, can. Use the mic, don't worry. No, perception still arise. That's why I don't know what have you been listening to it. I say when they cultivate that time, they are aware. During that time, there is no aggregate of mind, no perception, no of this content of consciousness. They see things as they are before the words, before the labeling. Understand not? That's why mindfulness is awareness, listen, before the knowing. Understand not? That is when they cultivate, understand not? But after they cultivate already, they don't have to do that already, understand not? Then they come out to live life, they also arise the aggregate. The five aggregate is still there, but no more grasping, understand not? No more ignorance, no more delusion. That's why it's no more upadana khandas, understand not? If you have the ability, yes. No, if you have the ability, yes. Because when you are continuously mindful in the retreat or even in your daily life, that is possible. That's why even now I can do it. Understand? Even the flower, I used to tell you all. How you see? You don't really see, you know, like this mic. You see with the concept. You think you see. Oh, mic, microphone. You never look at all these things. Whereas when I see as it is. Without the word of what color, what metal or what, the shape or no, just as it is. And I can do that since 20 over years ago, 1989. I can see. Until today, I can see. Why? Because my mind is different. Understand? When I need to see things as they are, I will see things as they are. And when I need to function as a human being, I will function as a human being. Understand? If I don't perceive, how can I live in this world? Understand? Like this sound, don't want to perceive. Kakam also don't know. Bang, die. You cannot become so gullible, understand? Oh, that's why I say, don't quote me. Brother, you say, enlightened one, no perception. Wow, die already. Then you go out, sound also don't want to perceive. That's why it's crazy. No, at the time of cultivation, you're supposed to silence your... That's why you train your mind until it's the silent mind. Did you all read the blue book or not? The transcript. You read already, you should understand, huh, or not? Everything is explained inside the transcript, actually. Understand or not? Why you meditate? You meditate to train your mind, yeah? To realize this silent mind, understand or not? That's why I say until pasti. Pasti means what? Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, silent mind, no thought. Then you just aware, understand or not? Aware to do what? Aware to understand what is going on, understand or not? Not to be actively using your thought to note this, note that, yeah, and insight into this and insight. That is not meditation at all, understand or not? That is mind very active, understand or not? Sankara trying to understand. Who want to understand? The thought want to understand. How can the thought understand? The thought is full of Dhamma, full of knowledge. That's why when you cultivate, you just silent, you just walk. That's why when you walk, you don't go and note mental intention, intending to walk, intending to stand, intending to live. What are you doing? You just silent your mind and walk. Like the Buddha said, Anapanasati, breathing in, the mind is aware. Means breath and the mind move as one. When I walk, body and mind move as one. Understand not? Then you just walk. But because you are under training, your senses are open. That's why as you walk, the thought comes. Understand not? Initially, it's okay because you are still under training. Understand? Then just like badminton or what? When you are not skillful, you are very clumsy. Understand not? But when you are very skillful already, you can do it. And then that time you say, wow, brother, beautiful. What you see, I experience. Then, different. Then, somebody also can do. Then you have faith. And they say, wow, that sister also can do. Otherwise, you doubt. You say, cannot, impossible. Then you say, not for me. Not this life. Then, you postpone. If you yourself lack confidence, when sadha is not strong, how can you cultivate? Understand not? So never doubt. That's why in the Buddha's time, there are a lot of incidents. Certain people or certain monks, when they come, they don't know anything. Understand not? But suddenly, out of a sudden, for no reason, they just awaken. Understand not? So you will never know. Understand not? Even like Angulimala has been killing people for so many, I don't know how many years he need to do that to kill 999. And yet he become an arahant immediately when he accepted the Buddha as his teacher. And when he take refuge and he meditate, I think within a few months he became an arahant. Then there is another one. Angulimala, and there is another one, I think. There are a few during the Buddha's time. The mustard seed one, that lady. Gotamiya, what? What's her name already? The husband died. The two children also died. Full of grief. Until she walked into the town where the Buddha was, naked also she don't know. Full of sorrow. Then came to the Buddha. The Buddha just say a few words. She become a sotapan. Why you want to doubt yourself? Understand not? People who have committed so much thing and went through so much grief also, within less than an hour, they just awaken. It can be done. Understand not? Whether you are serious or not. And never doubt yourself. The worst thing is to doubt yourself. Understand not? When you have faith, that is the driving force. That is the first spiritual faculty that will drive you, that will take you along this path. And like the Buddha said, it's like a stream, you know. When you are on the stream, the current will just take you up. Understand not? That's why you go against the stream. It's just to have the condition to contact. That's why you need to make aspiration. by the power of all this merit, may it arise a causing condition for you to avoid all the foolish and the heedless. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be there. So if you make this aspiration sincerely, condition will arise. Then there is a possibility of this happening. And it can happen to anyone, I tell you. But you must have some good roots from the past. Even if you don't have, you determine from now, it is going to be a giant step forward into your future. So all this will help you. Okay? What's the time now? I need to go faster because I haven't finished the notes. Okay. Oh, okay. No more question, huh? Any more question or not? If you got question, you can still ask because this topic is important. You better spend some time. Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay. Very good question. Do you need to know all the essential teachings of the Buddha, like the seven factors of enlightenment, five aggregate of form and mind, five mental hindrance, four noble truth? What is your answer? I want you to tell me your answer first. Yes. You tell me your answer first. No. Just now you asked that question. Is it necessary to understand all this? What is your opinion? You come out with this question because you have doubt, isn't it? You think it's not necessary, isn't it? Fair enough. Okay, good. That's why I want your answer. Your answer is what? Is it necessary or not to you, sincerely? No. Is it necessary or not? Okay. Not all of it is fair. That's why the Buddha said, actually, essentially, you only need to know the handful. Handful is what? The Four Noble Truths. And do you know, the Four Noble Truths is the essence of his teaching. But from this essence, all the essential teachings spin out. Understand not? That's why you don't understand how wide and how penetrated the Four Noble Truths is. Understand not? Four Noble Truths got what? Four Noble Truths got what? First Noble Truth already talked about so much. Five aggregate, everything inside the final summary. Understand not? Then the second Noble Truth talked about the cause of arising, which is avijja, sakkayaditti, also a very big topic. The three evil root is all there. Understand not? Where the cause is the three evil root, born of delusion. The five hindrances are all there, otherwise you will not have suffering. Then the third Noble Truth talk about the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, cessation of suffering is born. And this is supramundane. Then when it comes to the fourth Noble Truth, all his teaching is there. Right view, you already have to know all the spiritual law that governs life and existence, starting with law, karma, dependent origination, and the four Noble Truth. These are all the essential right view. Then you need to cultivate right speech. If you don't know what is wrong speech, how you cultivate right speech? If you don't know what is evil root, how do you know it's wrong thought? Understand not? That's why they are all interrelated and interlinked. And there is no question in, like, is it necessary to know everything? Of course, like English language, understand not? You only need to know A to Z, understand not? At least the alphabet you must know, understand not? And then you learn how to form words, understand not? But you don't have to know every word, understand not? But the essential word you have to know, understand not? Like how to call your boyfriend, darling. You must know, understand not? Otherwise, cannot fall into relationship. Then papa, mama, all this you must know, understand not? Then if you want to learn mathematics, you must know addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, integration, and all these things. Whatever you want to know, you must learn the words, understand not? If you don't learn the words, you cannot go into it. Understand not? So it's not a question, why is it there are so many things to know? Is it necessary to know? Then how can I answer you? If you don't want to know, then no need to meditate. Easiest. But These are essential teaching, essential Dhamma. If essential Dhamma also you don't understand, how you cultivate? You sure get into trouble, understand? The word is already essential, understand? Essential means what? You must understand. Otherwise you cannot penetrate, understand? Like right view. Oh, you need to know so much thing about law of karma or not. Huh? Why must go and recite? Like Buddha say, every day must reflect. I am born of my karma, here to my karma, condition and supportable. I am what I am because you don't see the importance. That's why you say, ayo, no need all this. I vipassana only, I enlightened. I'm more interested in insight and so on. And then you want instant meat, instant noodle. If you want like that, then you have to develop the condition for that. If you like Hui Ning, can, understand or not? Six patriarch. Woodcutter, illiterate, listen to Diamond Sutra, one sentence only, the mind must have no dwelling, he awakened already. He never learned any essential Dhamma, understand or not? But the past, the roots are very strong, understand or not? They have done it long, long time ago, understand or not? If you got that parami, not only say the essential Dhamma, you don't have to learn anything. When the condition comes, you just awaken, understand or not? But how many cultivator has that? Even I have my path, I also need to learn all the essential Dhamma. So, even the Buddha himself, he mentioned under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Remember? The three turning and the 12 mode. Even he himself as a bodhisattva to be at that time, he need to understand this Four Noble Truth in his three turning and his 12 mode. Otherwise, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened one. That's enough. He has to reflect, contemplate into it. And that was what I did also this life, the Four Noble Truth. That's why when I reflect, contemplate, when I come to understand what these things are, then I connect back to all his teaching, then I start to understand how he teach, how all this essential Dhamma come about, and why I have to explain it to you all. And to be very frank, when I went through the cultivation this life, because of my path, I didn't even really go through the whole thing. Like the three turning, I only do the second turning. Because I already did it. Then the second turning, immediately I connect. Then a lot of those things, like the essential Dhamma one, like the Four Noble Truth, the first time I hear is as if I already heard this truth before. Understand? I already understood this truth before. And I thought that time, everybody was like me, you know. So that's why when I came out to share, I thought you all need the Dhamma. So 2004-05, when I came out to share, I teach the Dhamma, I realized hardly anybody can understand. That's why that time I tell myself, and I even tell some of those Kayanamita, if anybody who can understand 10% of what I spoke at that time, he very, very good already. He or she very, very good already. That was the situation now. Then I realized what happened. Even the basic essential Dhamma also they don't understand. No? How to go and teach them Dhamma? Like ABC also not learn up yet. Word also don't understand yet. So need to go back to square one. Teach them the ABC and how to form word, then how to make sentences. And then only teach them proper English. In a similar way, I need to backtrack and teach them the Four Noble Truth. No? That's why I remember Yun Chan keep on complaining. No? Wow, brother, always Four Noble Truth, Four Noble Kindergarten stuff. I say, when we go and teach the kindergarten student, we teach them Four Noble Truth. Yeah, they thought Four Noble Truth is just that four thing that they recite. But the whole of the Four Noble Truth is the essential teaching. And from there, all the teaching come about. Understand? And the real Four Noble Truth is so profound. And when I went to the Four Noble Truth, when I talk about the three turning, everybody look at me, you know, like they never heard before. Until I need to quote that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And then only people start to have confidence. We are Buddha say, not I say. If I say, nobody believe. Then after that, people try to understand the three turning. Then people realize what I share can transform people, can make people different. Then it starts by word of mouth, one by one, one by one. And all of these people that come, I don't know them one, most of them. Then I never tell them, you must come to my class. No. If there is condition, they come. And sometimes they come, I totally don't know them one. There are many, I totally don't know them one. And when there is condition for Dhamma to arise, things will just happen. But when there is no condition, nothing happens. That's why from 1989 to 2004, nothing happened. And that was 15 years now. You realize now, 15 years now. I already have the understanding since 1989, but nobody see me now. Nobody really understand what is this thing now. So during that time, I still remember my wife and me, we were like at home. Sometimes we wonder what is happening to the Buddhist society. So one day in 2004, I think, early 2004, I suddenly received one circular from Vipassana Society, organizing a trip to this what they call Fraser's Hill. I think it's Fraser's Hill. So I told my wife, let's register and find out what is happening with the society and what are the Buddhist people doing. Well, a long time I didn't go to Brickfield also. So I registered. Yun Chan was the one who organized. And that was the only spiritual trip he organized, it seems, that time. So after that, everything started to happen. Because the conditions were there. Then it was Yun Chan that you all must thank. She was the one that came and invited me to come out to share. He requested 3 times. And for your information, the first 3 times, I said no. I said it's okay, just let things be. Then after the 3rd time when I said no, that night, something happened. My nature tell me, it's about time, the condition is right, you have to come out. Then I tell myself, how? Because if I come out, if people simply go and, especially those who sit at the back, if it's a talk, one-way traffic, they can interpret and comment in a very, very funny way that will bring about condition for certain things to happen. But I, out of compassion, I doesn't want this to happen. So I tell myself, cannot. Because what I understand is the opposite of what people do. It's so difficult to come out and share. Then suddenly the nature says, why not you introduce condition behind your sharing? Then I come up with 3 conditions. I say, if you agree to these 3 conditions, then yes, I come out. That's why I call my Dhamma sharing talk. Not a one-way traffic talk. Means you can ask questions, then we can discuss it. Then our focus is not on right and wrong. Our focus is on sharing, like Kayanamitta. No right, no wrong. Then whatever you can develop, use it. Understand? Because it's just a sharing. So through all this understanding, they say, okay, good, we can start. So we start off by Dhamma discussion. There is no such thing as a talk. Then later on, it become more structured. They ask for certain topic. So it's still a Dhamma discussion, but we focus more on the sharing. Okay, Chui. Okay, understood. So the essential Dhamma is important, but you don't have to force yourself to learn everything. Understand? You learn while you need it. Like you want to understand the Four Noble Truths, then you look into the Four Noble Truths, then the 3 turnings, then develop it one by one. No need to one shot like prepare for exam. A to Z almost. That is very unfair to you. Understand? But if you want to start meditation, you must at least understand what are the 5 hindrances. Understand? And how to overcome the 5 hindrances. No need to do anything. Just cultivate the 5 spiritual faculties. Where they are the opposite 5. Understand? Then the 3 evil roots. Then you have the 3 wholesome roots. Understand? That's why greed, hatred, and delusion, there is an opposite tree, Dhanasila and Bhavana, understand? So all these are like pair, one pair, one pair. Like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, they are one pair, one pair. So if you see the link, then you progress very fast, understand not? Then if you want to be enlightened, as you cultivate, if the enlightenment factor are not there, you ask yourself a very simple and very sincere question. Is there any possibility of enlightenment or not? But the enlightenment factor are not there, understand not? You can say you cultivate for umpteen year, go to retreat, this and what. Sati also not there. First enlightenment factor also not there. And you want to be enlightened. So how? Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. Second factor of enlightenment also not there. Your spiritual virya also not there. Of course, you have piti. You have sukha. Then you think, oh, piti, sukha can bring you there. Cannot. Piti, sukha. Piti is just one of the enlightenment factor that support you to go into pasati, understand? Not to be trapped in sukha, understand? Because piti is a very good state of mind that will encourage you to continue with the cultivation. That if you already know what is path and non-path, you are no longer deluded. The defilement of insight will not trap you anymore. And then you can progress very smoothly. That's why you will know how to develop pasati, then samadhi, then upeka. Then the seventh factor of enlightenment, once you meditate until you keep on arising them, and then you know you are very near to enlightenment. Understand? But the factors of enlightenment are there already, especially sati, leading to dhamma vicaya. Then your daily mindfulness becomes very stable. Without sati, you cannot. When sati and dhamma vicaya continuously develop, this dhamma vicaya, which is dhamma investigation, will bring about a lot of confidence in you, in what the Buddha teach. The Buddha's teaching, if it's put to investigation and stand up to test, where is the truth? It will stand up to investigation. Then you become full of joy, full of confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. And this is the one that drives you to have the virya. That is the third enlightenment factor, to really seriously cultivate and stabilize your sati. Then when your sati stabilizes, piti will arise. Then when piti arises, sukha followed by pasati will arise. Then samadhi. Then you see things as they are, wisdom arise, upeka arise. The enlightenment factor all arise. So all this is related. So don't be gullible. Do one thing at a time. First, cultivate the first enlightenment factor, sati. All of meditation is to train the mind to be mindful, stabilize it. Do that. Then use it to reflect, contemplate, and investigate into all the teaching. And then the essential Dhamma become useful, understand? Then you investigate them, understand? And then you start to understand what the Buddha means and what I'm trying to tell you. And then after that, when you teach, it's the same. You will also tell people, don't try to jump before you know how to walk. Because that one will not take you there, unless your past cultivation is already done up properly. So the essential Dhamma is very, very important. That's why they are called essential. What's the time already? Oh, almost 5 o'clock already. Okay, we better finish it. Hopefully no more questions. Okay. Second, you all don't have this. This note I will pass to Miss Lee to photostat. Because these are the short notes that Miss Lee forwarded to me. Then I modify it. Then I only managed to finish it this afternoon, 1:30. That's why photostat shop all closed. That's why I only brought one copy. Then don't have to write down any notes. You can have this note. Next Sunday, I think, Miss Lee will photostat. We will use the Kayana Metta Fund. Okay, I will read on. After five aggregate of form and mind, the third category of cultivation is... Oh, sorry. This second category of cultivation, I didn't finish. Eh? Second category of cultivation under Dhammanupassana is mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. Eh? So now you understand why you have to cultivate that. Eh? So that you can understand how the final summary of the First Noble Truth come about and set up. How when you grasp and cling, suffering will be the result. Yeah. Then how this five aggregate of form and mind, when you understand, you are not cling and you are not grasp, because they are impermanent. They give rise to suffering when you grasp and cling. Then when you see clearly through your direct seeing, when you insight into phenomena, you will see their non-self nature, empty nature, anatta nature. Then after that, the Buddha say, when you have this basic wisdom developed, when Sakkaya Ditthi is no more, you move on to the third category of practice. The third category of practice is mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. This is to enable you to understand how you function as a human being. How upon contact of mind and the internal sense bases, sense door consciousness come to be. How it then condition you into the various mind state that trigger off the so-called reaction of mind to arise the evil roots of defilement that actually cause you all the suffering. Then after that, you move on to the fourth category of practice, which is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. So when you are aware of the seven factors of enlightenment, then you know you are much closer to enlightenment. Because if you are not close, the factors of enlightenment will not arise. So exactly like what I explained to you, you meditate after 20-30 years, go retreat in and out, then you think you progress. But you check, no factor of enlightenment yet. Means something is wrong with your meditation. So the factor of enlightenment is to give you confidence to track your progress. If you meditate, the factor of enlightenment is still not there. Especially the first factor of enlightenment, or sati, also not there. And sati is not the one in the retreat one, the daily mindfulness one. If that one also not there, I don't know, you ask yourself, what type of enlightenment you are expecting? So this one is very clear. Isn't it? That's why the seven factor of enlightenment, you must meditate with mindfulness. This is the Dhamma you cannot avoid. As the factor of enlightenment arise, it will prepare you to develop the insight wisdom to become enlightened. So that's why you have a lot of confidence as you see this factor of enlightenment arising. I still remember in the early years, when my sati become very stable and when I can investigate into the Dhamma, there was so much joy, you know, so much virya, piti, you know. Then my mind becomes so calm, so peaceful, and so still. That's why pasati, samadhi, all come. Then everything like very easy to do, you know, very simple. That's why sati is most important. Without sati, there is no dhamma vichaya. Without dhamma vichaya, you cannot progress. Because your faith will not be strong. So mindfulness leading to heedfulness is the most important. That's why Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. Just like what we went through just now. You are conscious of life, but you are not mindful, you are not heedful. That's why you are as if dead. Understand? Okay? So we go on. Next one. The last category of cultivation within Dhammanupassana is cultivation of mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. Within this Four Noble Truths cultivation, you got the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, which the Buddha talked about under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, that is the first sermon, which he delivered immediately after his enlightenment to the five ascetics. So these Four Noble Truths are the most important. Essentially, they are the essence of the Buddha's teaching. then your focus should be on the fourth noble truth, which is the Noble Eightfold Path as the last cultivation. Because within the Noble Eightfold Path, there is a seventh noble path factor of sati, or mindfulness. That one you need to fulfill the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. And that's why the four foundation of mindfulness is the only way. And without that, you cannot awaken. Even after you had developed certain insight, especially insight with respect to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, you still need to cultivate the balance of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. So this aspect of the cultivation is the most important. So that's why I always tell you all, whatever meditation you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the four foundation of mindfulness and finally to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life through heedfulness, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this four foundation of mindfulness will complete the whole cultivation of the four noble truths, especially the fourth noble truth, which is the mindfulness of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which will lead to the end of all suffering, which will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. There is also the assurance given by the Buddha at the end of the sutta, page 51, assurance of enlightenment or attainment. The Buddha assured all the monks at that time and said, "Verily, O bhikkhu, should anyone maintain the four foundation of mindfulness or the four arousing of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, then by him one of the two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge in the here and the now, sainthood, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the anagami state, or the state of non-returner, which is the third supramundane friction, or the third stage of sainthood." Then the Buddha continued, "O bhikkhu, let alone 7 years, should a person maintain this four foundation of mindfulness cultivation for 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, and even 2 weeks, then later on 1 week, one of these two friction is possible. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible." Then he go on and continue and say, "O bhikkhu, let alone maybe 2 weeks, should a person cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness and maintain it even for 7 days, then by him one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge in the here and the now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner or an anagami. Because of this, was it said, this is the only way, O bhikkhu, for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the attainment of Nibbana, namely the four foundation of mindfulness. Thus spoken, the Blessed One satisfied the bhikkhu approved of his word." So this is how powerful this four foundation of mindfulness is. And now that you had understood its importance, it will give you a lot of confidence. Just like during the Buddha's time, he spoke this sutta, which gave a lot of confidence to the monk at that time. And the reason why I want to quote all this is because I want you to be motivated. A lot of people always complain or grumble. They say, "Bratio, it's so difficult. I don't think I can do it. No way," they say. If you yourself also lack confidence, then how can you develop the cultivation? Understand now? The Buddha already given you the assurance. That is, you need only 1 week actually. That's all you need, if you diligently cultivate. So 1 week is very fast, isn't it? Our retreat in March got 10 days. You got 3 days surplus. That's why when you understand this sutta, you will understand how to develop the cultivation. And you will progress very fast. if you are really serious about the cultivation, where your great faith in the Buddha's word, and through this very strong sadha of faith in the Buddha and his teaching, it will bring forth the other spiritual faculty that are needed for you to develop this cultivation. So this is the introduction on how to cultivate this important sutta, which is Satipatthana. This sutta is also very powerful. And it also explained to you very clearly how it's connected to his other teaching. When you had completed the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, your personality and character will change for the better, and you will become very noble in every aspect of your life, and you will have more and more gentleness, pleasantness, and other good virtues like generosity, humility, kindness, sincerity, respect for others, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, etc. You will have them. Okay, then here I mentioned next lesson we are going to start officially the four foundations of mindfulness. Ng Bee was the one who proposed this topic, and she had brought about the condition for us all to have this sharing. She is the one who had initiated it, and she had also spent quite a bit of time writing up all those format to share and to teach, which was very good. So today we're supposed to go into the teaching proper. So how much time do we have? Oh, okay, still got 50 minutes. Okay, maybe I will go into it a little bit. The four foundations of mindfulness. Turn to page 33, the English version. So maybe today we will try to cover the first part. Okay, before I forget, Miss Lee, I pass you this note. You get it for the step. Then next lesson we can distribute. Use the Kayana Mita part. Okay, I tell you what. Why not we do it this way? Since it's a Satipatthana Sutta class, I will combine it with the meditation. So that the meditation part, I won't do the normal meditation anymore. You go back and read the transcript for the normal meditation. I will just allow you to meditate, cultivating the four foundations. Stage by stage, like what Ng Bee had mentioned and suggested. You go and refer to the email. Then from there, you can ask questions. Then you can develop the understanding of how to develop this cultivation, so that you can progress much more easily. And especially for those going for the retreat. With this understanding, when you are there, you can cultivate much better. Okay, page 33, the English version. The foundation of mindfulness, which is Satipatthana Sutta. Thus have I heard at one time the Blessed One was living in Kurus at Kamasadama, a market town of the Kuru people. Then the Blessed One addressed the Bhikkhu as follows. This is the only way, O Bhikkhu, for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the attainment of Nibbana, namely the four arousing of mindfulness, or the four foundation of mindfulness. So this opening paragraph will give you a lot of confidence if you really trust the Buddha. So this is the one that can really bring about enlightenment. And I know there are certain books who translate that word, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, as one of the way. So don't worry, don't go and argue with people. Whatever the interpretation is not important. The message is more important. The reason why I choose this translation is This one is by our Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda. His Pali is very good, and his English is very good. That's why I choose his. And I still have a lot of confidence that the word there is very precise. Ekayano. This is the only way. Because a lot of people who didn't come back to this four foundation of mindfulness, they are all trapped in their meditation. Understand not? It is only through this sati that you can break free. I went through the same thing during the early days. I was caught in anapanasati actually. I thought enough. Until I went into all the absorption, all the concentration, my mind was so still. I thought that was it. Until I met another teacher, Ajahn Yantra. Then he tell me what is the real meditation, the highest meditation. He just say we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Then from there, I shifted my meditation. I also came to know, because later on after I came out to work, I realized my mind can still stir despite all the experience, all the wonderful meditation that I had. Then I realized when I came out to work, when I touch money, there is still this greed to earn more money, to become successful, to have financial freedom and all those things. Not to say it's something that is bad or you cannot have, you can have. But what I can see is there is this craving inside yourself. Means the mind is still not there yet. The mind is still waver, still have this what they call craving force inside. There is still the desire for certain things and all those things. Then there was no real understanding at that time. So that's why I shifted my cultivation. Then after I shifted my cultivation, within 3 years, I came to understand the power of Satipatthana Sutta. Actually, it was mainly daily mindfulness, that's all. And I was doing this daily mindfulness without really going through the whole sutta. That's why when Chui asked me, is it necessary? If you have your path, then maybe not so necessary. But the funny thing is, when I developed the meditation myself, I know what to do. Then I remember what this Satipatthana Sutta say. Well, last time I cannot relate to the four posture and the daily mindfulness. No, I was having a thought like Chui, you know, is this necessary? I just go into the mind, understand not? I just go into citta, then I develop the fantastic meditation, then I free. Later on only, when Ajahn Yantra mentioned that the real meditation, the highest meditation is, we choose aware every action, every movement in the breath. And then only I connect back to these two. Then I realize, this is where I didn't do, the missing link. And when I started to do this, I realized the understanding was different. Last time one is mainly knowledge-based, thought-based, through the fantastic meditative experience. Then, because your Dhamma very good, you think you know. You think you already penetrated. So, those were the conditions for it. So now we go into the first foundation. The four arousing of mindfulness. What are the four? Here bhikkhu, a bhikkhu live contemplating the body in the body. So this one is very important, the word. Contemplating the body in the body. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful of it. You know, ardent means very serious, means you commit yourself diligently. Then clearly comprehending, and mindful of it. That's why all the emphasis is what? Mindfulness and clear comprehension. You observe that. Then this is the word that I always quote. A lot of people don't understand. Having overcome in this world covetousness and greed, then only he lives contemplating the feeling in feeling. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful. Then again, having overcome in this world covetousness and greed, he lives contemplating consciousness in consciousness. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful of it, having overcome in this world covetousness and greed. He lives contemplating. You change the word mental object to Dhamma. Dhamma in Dhamma. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful of them, having overcome in this world covetousness and greed. So that word, having overcome in this world, means the mundane world, covetousness and greed. Now we try to develop understanding of these two words. These two are very important words, very powerful words. If you have not developed that understanding, technically, according to the Buddha, you actually cannot start the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. Understand or not? Okay, I write these two words down. What is this word covetousness? What is the meaning? What is the meaning? Covetousness. It's an English word for what? What is it? No, not envy. It's greed. Wanting something. Greed. It's an English word for greed. Understand? Covetousness means you actually desire something. Covetousness. You try to get them. Understand not? Then what is this grief? Grief is sadness, isn't it? Sadness. Or mental suffering. So this word, covetousness, means the Buddha tried to tell the monk, before you actually go into this four foundation of mindfulness, you need to overcome. After overcoming covetousness and greed, if you don't understand what is covetousness and what is grief, it's very difficult to overcome them. So you look at the first paragraph. Here, bhikkhu. A bhikkhu lives contemplating the body in the body, ardent, clearly comprehending, and mindful of it, having overcome in this world covetousness and grief. So these two words form a very key importance in the cultivation. Covetousness is basic greed, desire for things. Understand now? Then grief is suffering, misery, sadness. So these are actually tied up with what? Tied up with the evil root of greed and hatred. Understand not? Anger. So, if you still have this thing in you, it's very difficult for you to cultivate. Understand not? Means you still have a lot of desire, a lot of craving. you still have a lot of envy, jealousy, leading to all the grief, the unhappiness, the ill will, the hatred. That's why in the Buddha's teaching, you realize when he teaches the three evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, which is lobha, dosa, and moha, then he has the opposite three. What are they? Dana, sila, and bhavana. So, without dana, this greed will be there. If you don't have generosity, you tend to become greedy. Then if you don't keep your precept, you will violate your precept. You get yourself entangled. Then because of that, karmically, the negative karma will come and afflict you. That's why you will have a lot of suffering. Suffering comes about because you have problems of life. So you become sad. So grief, sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, all this will arise. And these are hindrance of mind. So that's why before you really develop the meditation, sila is very important. Understand? And for you to have sila, you must have dana parami to help you so that your condition are better. Because without dana parami, when you come, you will not have proper wealth. Sometimes even the four basic needs of life, food and shelter, are not there. Support are not there. So when your life is so full of suffering, misery, difficulty, it's very difficult for you to keep precept and very difficult for you to have time to cultivate the Dhamma. So that's why you need to have dana to overcome covetousness. That's why I practice more generosity while you have the condition. So that in future when you come, you not only will become more generous because this is your habitual tendency, you will have a good karma to receive. Whatever you give, you reap what you sow. The more you give, the more you receive. And it will come back to you. Then if you keep your precepts, all of the suffering that comes with violating this precept will not afflict you, will not arise the condition for the negative karma to come to you. So if you don't kill people and harm people, you will have longer life, anasana. You will not have the condition to be killed by others and harmed by others and all those things. Then likewise, if you don't steal and misappropriate things that don't belong to you, your wealth and property will be protected. You will not have a situation where you get yourself swindled by all the, what they call, swindler, or people who cheat on you. Of course, this life you blame them. How can they do this? How can they do all this nonsense? But you never ask. In the past, when you do to people, you never have this thought. How can I do this to people? So karma is, when there is condition, you reap what you sow. When you come, if there is condition for your past action to be repaid, then it will condition you into that state. Means you become the victim, Manasa. People will cheat you back. Then you will lose back. Especially there are a lot who face this type of people, like business partner who cheat them, spouse who cheat on them, then good friend who cheated on them and all those things. So covetousness and grief, a lot are karmically related and as well. So that's why if you don't take care of karma, if you don't try to avoid all evil and do good, it's very difficult for you to overcome this. But this is only the karmic aspect, understand? But if you are serious about cultivation, despite your karma, even let's say your karma is mixed, not so good, but you don't worry. Actually, through the Dhamma, you can actually develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma and free. So that covetousness and grief will no longer disturb you. It's only when covetousness and greed no longer disturb you, then only your mind can have the condition to cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness. Then you can progress very well. Because these are the things that haunt most human beings, will not disturb you. So if you still got a lot of this covetousness and greed, means the hindrance of mind are still very powerful, then you still have the karmic path to cope with or to cater with. Then it's very difficult, understand not? That's why I realized when I went into this cultivation of the daily mindfulness, I got it very fast. No? Within 2 weeks, the whole thing came. No? I was also very surprised. No? I was like, don't believe. No? But it really came, no, within 2 weeks. Then later on, after my cultivation, when I read through the sutta, then I saw this word. No? After overcoming covetousness and grief, no? Every part of the foundation also have this. No? Then I come to realize, not everybody can do the four foundation of mindfulness. No? Because they haven't done this, understand? No? So this part, you need to have some form of contemplative wisdom, born of the second turning of the Four Noble Truths. That's why during the early day, I remember, I reflect and contemplated a lot on the Four Noble Truths, the second turning, especially the five daily contemplation that the Buddha taught about. That's why I understand those parts of the essential teaching very well. Every time I contemplate, this body of mine is of the nature to get old, to get sick, and to die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. Then every time when there is this thing coming, you will understand. You will know how to accept that reality. Then you will not complain, understand? You will not become afflicted, miserable. Then the fourth contemplation also very important. All that which we think we own, our loved ones, our property, our prized possession, our wealth, our money, our status, our reputation, career, everything, they are all impermanent, condition arising. When condition is there, they arise. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. And when the breath stops, either way, you don't own anything. So this brings about a very good understanding, so that when separation from loved one and possession come to be, which is one of the first noble truth reality, you will not become sorrowful, sad, grief, because you understand that they are impermanent, they are conditioned arising, causal phenomena. So I constantly reflect and contemplate. Then I was able to accept many things. Then later on, when I contemplated on the fifth one more, all of a sudden the understanding just comes. Then I realized everything is karmically driven, because since young it showed it to me. Then when I cultivate, I reflected back, I came to understand how this very powerful law of karma works. That's why I always tell some of those who are close to me in Hokkien, not until you don't believe the law of karma is like that one. Bo kao lo bo xiong xin is like that one. That's why you cannot play a fool with karma. That's why the Buddha's advice is very precise. Dhammapada verse 183, he said, sabbe papasa akaranang, all evil, not only avoid evil, no, all evil you must avoid. Well, it's never worthwhile to violate. Then you see the beauty and precision in the Buddha's word. And because of that, all his teaching become very clear after that. So that's why all this essential Dhamma that I pick up and I wanted to share with you is because it has benefited me a lot. Then the meaning really show up. So when you develop this second turning, contemplative wisdom, it will help you to overcome covetousness and grief, understand? You will not be deludedly grasping onto it and holding onto it, because you know this body goes the way of nature, this body don't belong to you. Then later in the meditation, all this understanding will be strengthened, very, very strong. So that's why you have to overcome basic greed, covetousness, and basic sadness, mental suffering. So after you have done that, then this sutta become meaningful. So we will repeat the first paragraph. The four arousing of mindfulness. What are the four? Here a bhikkhu live contemplating the body in the body. You see, body in the body, you know what is it or not? You have a physical body, the form. It means when you do mindfulness of this foundation, you cannot just become mindful of your entire body, understand not? Body in body means like this consciousness is trapped inside this body, understand not? Then consciousness have this ability to develop awareness or mindfulness. So mindfulness of the body within this body means within this phantom-like body, like the Buddha said, along with perception and thought and mindfulness, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the power that leads to cessation. Means all this is possible because within this phantom-like body, all of the four foundations are there, like I explained during the first session. Within this phantom-like body, you have your kaya for you to do kaya nupassana, the first foundation of mindfulness. So within kaya, you have what? Anapanasati, anasana. Breathing, which is part of the body, anasana. That's why we contemplate body in the body, anasana. So body in the body, the first one is breathing. Kaya nupassana. Anapanasati. Then you have all the various activity, like the four posture. Then all the connecting movement. Sati sampajana. So all this is kaya nupassana. Means we contemplate, develop mindfulness of this body in this body. So this kaya, like I explained, is always within the moment, understand? It can never be other than the moment, understand? This moment, our kaya is like that, our breathing is like that, understand? So when you anchor your mindfulness to your kaya, your mind is always in the moment, without thought, just aware, understand? That's why it can train your mind to be mindful, understand? So mindfulness is no more nothing, understand? Mindfulness is just aware, understand? Aware of what? Aware of breathing. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Then aware of the movement. Sitting, aware. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. Otherwise the sutta would have written it differently, understand? Standing, not intention. But sutta never write that, understand? The sutta just say, when you walk, you are aware, understand? So, it's pretty clear. So, we are not here to argue whether right or wrong. We are here to understand what we are doing in the name of meditation. So, kaya is the physical body. That's why in the sutta it's mentioned, here bhikkhu, a bhikkhu lives. Means this becomes like your full-time life now. You live contemplating the body, you know, in the body, you know. Then ardent means very diligently, seriously, understand? Then clearly comprehending, you know, understand? Clearly comprehending and mindful of it, you know. If you do that for anapanasati, your anapanasati becomes very powerful, I tell you. But the problem with most meditators is they never arise ardent. They never clearly comprehend. Even to be mindful of it, split second, the mind wander off. Understand? So you ask yourself, are you cultivating anapanasati following the four foundations of mindfulness? You never develop ardent, you never develop clear comprehension, clearly comprehending, and even mindful of that in and out breath also you never develop. That's why when you see the sutta, and when you reflect and contemplate, then you realize, how can all these people do? And when they do, they somehow not develop mindfulness. They go and note this, note that, do this, do that. So what type of satipatthana is that? You go and find out yourself. That's why you have to do with understanding. So this part is very important. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful of it. Then having overcome in this world covetousness and greed. This is to prevent... The breath. If you are doing anapanasati, then it's the breath. If you are doing the four posture, it's the posture. Understand? Then if you are doing all the daily mindfulness, means sati sampajana, you just mindful of the activity, all of the movement and action. That's why you see, when I move my hand, my mind and this movement is one. Understand? This is sati. Understand? That's why as you move, body and mind as one, forget about noting and doing all this funny thing. You just walk. Initially, like learning how to play badminton, very clumsy one, not synchronized one. Your mind, split second, wander off and think. But don't worry, continue to do. That's why it's like when you go for your exercise, you walk. Walk until the rhythm, the body, the breath, when they are one, you realize you're not tired. You realize there is no thought. Body, breath, and mind as one. You just walk. You're not tired. That rhythm suit you. And there is no thought. That is when the walker is mindful. But when you walk already, you're tired. Miss, you are not graceful already. Miss, you are very clumsy in your walking, understand? You have not trained enough. You see those Olympic walk, like very graceful one, you see or not? I saw them walk, that one, very fast. It's like, in a little bit, like dancing like that. But very fast on the leg, keep on repeating one. Because they very used to it. And they are very, very soft, understand? Very soft. Then when you walk at the pace that you feel very comfortable and not tired, and that is the rhythm that your body actually match your mind. Then your mind like that rhythm. That's why when you walk, you don't worry about fast or slow. You walk, after a while, it will slow down by itself. Then you will get into the rhythm that is most suitable for your mind. And your mind will know it. And that time you will also know it. That time, whatever you do, you move or what, the mind is with it. And you feel so good. You like don't use energy on. That's all. Like you do yoga or tai chi, when you are very, very used to it already, when you are very skillful already, your movement is so smooth, understand? It's like you are one with the thing, no thought. That's why when you do yoga or when you do this, what they call tai chi chen or qigong, if you don't go and concentrate your energy, you don't go and return your energy to one point, then your whole movement becomes sati. Then you realize you are very peaceful, very calm, very quiet, with no thought. Little sankara. You become very calm, very peaceful, and your energy build up. You become like very good after the exercise. Asana. And you just do without thought.
Then there's clearly comprehending it,
yes,
and mindful of it. Mindful of it is already as one.
No, clearly comprehending got four things to comprehend.
Oh.
You remember the clear comprehension? But that one is later on when you do the sati sampajana, you have to go into it. Clearly comprehending here initially is just develop the clarity of mind to comprehend what you are doing. Understand? To just comprehend what you are doing. Then after that, Later on in the Sati Sampajana, the clear comprehension got 14. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. And this one you have to reflect, contemplate, asana, so that you are not deluded by it. Then clear comprehension of the domain of practice, again, so that you are not deluded by it. So that when you do with clear comprehension, you will not fall out of this four contemplative contemplation. Asana. Clear comprehension, contemplation. Then the clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability means the time, the place, and the people. The most suitable time, the most suitable place, and the most suitable people. Then the last one is the clear comprehension of non-delusion. Means you are not deluded by the good experience of meditation, anasana. You will not be trapped by it. Like the defilement of insight, when they arise, you have this clear comprehension of non-delusion. So you will not go and grasp, cling, and get yourself entangled with it. You will not cling on to it, anasana. Even the piti, the sukha, the one-pointedness, the nimitta, you can play with it, but you will not grasp onto it. You will not get excited by it. But if you have delusion, then you will get yourself astray. So that is the detailed clear comprehension. Initially, it's just clearly comprehending what you do. Understand? So ardent means diligent, serious. Then clearly comprehending means you clearly comprehend, like you do anapanasati. You clearly comprehending that you are doing anapanasati. Means what? Your focus is anapanasati. Anapanasati is what? Relax body and mind. Then you do the mind sweeping method, you train your mind to be aware. Understand? At the place you want it to be. So now I want to be aware of my breathing. So that's why I can develop awareness in front of my nostril. Then breathing in, I'm aware. Understand? Means clearly comprehending that I am doing this. Anasana. I'm just doing anapanasati. I'm not interested in what people say and what people tell me. Anasana. Then I'm not interested in, is this the jnana? Is this the impermanent? Is this what and what and what? This is all interfering. This is not clearly comprehend. Means you are doing with the thought. Anasana. You are not meditating anymore. Anasana. You are actually trying to look for things in the meditation. Anasana. Then mindful means when the mind and the breath move as one, you will know you are mindful. When you are not mindful, you will know. Understand? That's why the Buddha under the Dhammanupassana, he said, when the first factor of enlightenment or sati is there, you are aware. Understand? When sati is not there, you are also aware. Understand? And this is what you do. Understand? So these are the part, I tell you, very few people can teach you like that one. Okay. You go and look around, all the Satipatthana course, you go and listen. I don't know. As far as I know, during my time, I haven't heard of anybody explaining this. Everybody was just keeping to the sutta. So we repeat the first one. Here, bhikkhu, a bhikkhu live contemplating the body in the body, ardent, clearly comprehending, and mindful. Having overcome in this world covetousness and greed, then only he proceeds to the second foundation. Then after that he says, he live contemplating the feeling in the feeling. And so on. Ardent, clearly comprehending, and mindful of it. Here, feeling in the feeling means you go deep into the feeling. You silence your mind and just feel. Then within the feeling, there is this reaction. There is this movement. That's why when feeling become pleasant or unpleasant feeling, you know. You're supposed to develop the awareness of it. Means feeling has been conditioned into pleasant and unpleasant feeling. And what is pleasant and unpleasant feeling? What are they? They are your covetousness and greed, isn't it? Your sensual desire and ill will, isn't it? your mental hindrance. So that's why when you do Vedana Nupassana, you are supposed to be mindful of the feeling, understand or not? Go and note the pain, understand or not? Pain is already unpleasant feeling, it's already the hindrance. You go and note that one for what? You know the feeling. That feeling has this unpleasantness. You're supposed to be aware that the hindrance are there, understand or not? But what has been taught is the other way around, understand or not? When there is pain, you go and note pain. But you don't know, when you develop Vedana Nupassana, Vedana is feeling, no? Means mindfulness on the feeling, no? That's why feeling in the feeling. So in the feeling, when your mind stir, you react to it, it becomes unpleasant feeling, you are trapped already. You still not mindful, understand? You still think you do vipassana. That's where you get caught. That's how you cannot progress. Then if it's pleasant feeling, means what? You totally never even mindful that it's pleasant feeling. Because this is piti. This is calmness. This is what I'm looking for. This is good meditation. You're supposed to be aware that the feeling has moved. Understand or not? Become pleasant feeling. Means sensual desire has arisen. When my mind is preoccupied with that, how can I be aware anymore? Understand or not? I'm supposed to develop awareness. So that when this mind stir and move, this nature is aware. Understand or not? It's only when you are aware that you can do something to it. Understand? When you are not even aware that your mind state has already been conditioned into craving, you somehow think you do vipassana. Understand? That's why they somehow teach you cut at feeling, cut at this. When there is delusion, how to cut? Understand? Without wisdom, you cannot let go. Understand? Practice letting go. Who let go? The one that has delusion try to let go. You cannot let go, understand? So all this, when it becomes clear, you are not gullible anymore. You don't go and do all those foolish things anymore. You do with understanding. When I understand, I cannot hold. No need to let go, understand? A person who tries to let go don't understand. And he tries to let go. How can he let go, understand? When I know it's hot, burning, I will not touch, understand? If I don't die, I don't have to let go. Only the gullible people who don't know go and hold and get burned, then only try to let go. Or then get angry. Why never tell me? Why must tell you? You're supposed to be ever mindful. That's why whatever you do, if you have mindfulness, you will know. You will understand. It's very different. It's very, very different. Okay? What's the time now? Oh, I think we have to stop, huh? Okay, because my brother is coming down from Alastair. He should be reaching any time already, so we have to stop. So, you all go back, reflect on it, then contemplate on it, then hopefully, with the notes and the explanation and the recording, you can develop better understanding so that when the retreat comes, you will do it with understanding properly. Because this speed up the teaching. Because I actually reluctant to go into this, because the essential Dhamma, if you don't know, if all those things you don't know, you go into this, you cannot understand. That's why now you start to appreciate how slowly the understanding can fall into place. If let's say 2 years ago I start this, you all would benefit, understand? Because you don't know what I'm talking about, and you can get a shock, understand? What is this Brahmacharya saying? All the things he say one is the opposite of what we have been doing one. Because you cannot understand. So now slowly over the years, you have developed some form of cultivation and understanding, then this Dhamma become more and more clear, because the essential Dhamma is being explained. Then you can connect them, you can link them. And then you understand clearly why they are like that. And then no need to ask me, but you, why they also cannot understand? They are monks. You know? You ask me questions like that, how to answer? I cannot answer, you understand? No? Well, I am not them, understand? No? You ask them why, because their training is like that, their conditioning is like that. But I was told now they are also changing. They also develop understanding. They also don't do all those things anymore. Slowly, slowly, they use different words already. They will evolve, understand? No? So don't go and argue with people, and don't go and try to quote me. It's very dangerous, understand? No? Especially if Bratio say like that one, no. Not like that. No. Then you don't understand what I mean. You go and quote, then you misinterpret, then we get into unnecessary misunderstanding. No point. Like just now, if I don't clarify you or don't ask questions, oh, Bratio say enlightened one don't perceive one, no. Don't arise anything or no. Then how to live? Then people become very confused, understand? No? Just the cultivation and that thing is totally, that's why you need to understand and don't just quote me out of the context, understand? No? From the recording, you just take that few words and say, Brother, you say this, you should die on. Because how I come to this, you don't understand. And why I explain this, you don't understand. Okay? So, okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Aka satta ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkhantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itawata chamehi sampadan punyas padan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share this merit which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the Father One and those who can receive it. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to the departed relatives and those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, you do your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva and Lord Buddha, then we end.
Let's express our heartfelt thanks to Brother Teo for this profound sharing by three mindful bow to the Buddha.